what of Czechoslovakia and the students of Prague and Warsaw? And how shall we interpret China's cultural revolution? Is it not the certain sign that China is divided and in chaos and crumbling from within? Are those the models of revolutionary change and the patterns to follow? The man who most clearly and first of all analyzed and denounced the new imperialism arising in what was once the first socialist country in the world is Mao Zedong. The explanation he gives, and which I shall now give, is based on dialectical materialism. But we must remember that the true course of science and scientific method from the beginning is based upon the dialectical concept. As Benjamin de Leon writes, we are compelled to recognize the dialectical concept, that change in quantity transforms into change in quality. And similarly, the law of contradiction, basic to dialectics, the unity of opposites as essence of all things, is also basic to science. Mao Zedong has expanded and developed, based on the accumulated experience of the Chinese Revolution, our knowledge of contradiction and of qualitative change. And Mao says that although in the general development of things, the material determines the mental, and social being determines social consciousness, yet we also, and indeed we must recognize the reaction of mental on material things, of social consciousness on social being, of the superstructure on the economic base. The whole course of the Chinese Revolution under Mao, as well as the direction of the Cultural Revolution today, exhorting to combat selfishness and personal interest as a political as well as a moral attainment, are of significance in that they open to us a greater dimension of understanding and give due place to mental and conscious processes, taking us away from rigidly mechanical materialism. For mankind on the march is not only materially determined, but also idea propelled. It is also ideas accepted and put into action by the masses of the peoples, which move them forward. Historical development is mass action in its final analysis. The saying by Mao, the people, only the people, are the motor force of history, embodies this concept, as does the one which says that correct ideas, relevant to reality and to the class whose interests they represent, the class which holds the key to future development, once absorbed by the masses, becomes an immense material force which can change heaven and earth, which can transform the world. It is therefore from this point of view of the mental superstructure of ideas that we shall trace part of the phenomenon of transformation, the reversal phenomenon in Russia, and also later envisage the Cultural Revolution and the course of revolution in China. We have said that each economic and political structure contains within itself the seeds of its opposite, as does each situation and each thing, and that the play of these and their relative ascendancy and mutual interaction is the source of motion and development. Hence, it is obvious that within each system, its opposite becomes manifest when the dominant aspect of its contradiction begins to head towards decrepitude. With young capitalism, and capitalism at its inception was a progressive force, as compared to the feudalism it destroyed and replaced, was also born the working class. The first machine saw the first proletariat. In the 19th century, in the full flush of capitalist expansion and colonial conquest, the working class also evolved from a class in itself, initiating spontaneous revolts, to a conscious class for itself with its own philosophy, with the beginnings of a leadership, with Marxism, with the communist parties. The 20th century saw the expansion and organization of revolutions based on Marxism led by communist parties, vanguards of the working class, and also saw great gains by the working class undreamt of in the 19th century. But it was also to see, and Lenin described this phenomenon, its opposite, counter-revolutionary revisionism, in its theoretical and practical aspects. In practical terms, this begins with conciliation and compromise, and even more within the Marxist parties, the rise of a new class, a new bourgeoisie, cut off from the masses it once led as a vanguard, anxious to take the place of the class it once overthrew, and not to transform the world, but to enjoy it in the same way. And along with the development and spread of revolutions of the 20th century under the banner of socialism, also comes this internal dichotomy, which in the final analysis represents the countercurrent of ideas, attitudes, values, which emanate from the previous capitalist system. For at the present stage, it makes for a return to the past, the phenomenon of reversal or restoration. And Lenin was well aware of this when he said that the socialist revolution is not one single battle on a single front, but a whole epoch of struggles on many and varied, indeed on all fronts, and that the consolidation of socialist power, which is the power of the working class, cannot come unless there is at the same time the fullest democracy in practice, which alone can guarantee the stability of this power and its success. This saying of Lenin we must ponder in its full significance, for it enables us to understand more the processes at work and the patterns of the future along which the Asian nations may move or may not move. Even after the violent revolutionary overthrow of the capitalist system, therefore, the mental superstructure is not overthrown. It is easy to cut off heads, say the Chinese, but that does not solve anything. It is the ideas inside the heads that must change.